Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay and have had a great weekend. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, October 20th. Coming up today, another group of unhappy residents take on property management company Firstport consultations on a cash splash for part of Sheppey, and we've got reaction from the Gillingham defeat over the weekend. But first, taking a look at our top story today. Four Kent County councillors have been suspended by Reform UK after a video of a virtual meeting was leaked to the press. In the footage, KCC leader Lyndon Kemp-Caron can be heard arguing with senior members and threatening to mute a Maidstone councillor. There are also rumours of a potential vote of no confidence. I'm joined now by Lib Dem Richard Stretfield. He's the deputy leader of the opposition at Kent County Council. Richard, thanks so much for your time today. First of all, can I ask, what do you make of the video that was leaked to The Guardian?
The video was shocking. It was unprofessional. It showed that on policy issues that the leader isn't listening, that she's making not only her members suck it up, but also all of Kent's residents. And we think that her position as a result is untenable.
And are you concerned about plans for local government reorganisation?
The plans for local government reorganisation are clearly top-down, being imposed from the leadership onto the members and, more importantly, onto the residents of Kent. The plan that Reform have got denies one of the key advantages of reorganisation, which is devolution. If you have a single unitary, you can't get devolution. So we are really concerned that members of Reform get a free vote when this comes in front of the full council.
Do you think Lyndon Kemp-Caron should continue as KCC leader?
The leader's position is untenable. She's behaved in an unprofessional way. She hasn't listened to her members. She hasn't listened to residents of Kent. And she's going to break a key election promise. All of that is evidenced in the video, and the tone and the content of the video mean that her position is no longer tenable. But it's up to Reform members as to who they want to lead their party in the county council. But we think that she should step down because we don't want any more reputational damage done to KCC.
Now, Reform UK showing that they are unfit to govern.
Reform have not had a good start at KCC, and undoubtedly they're finding it difficult to make good on their election promises. It was always going to be a bumpy ride because there were 57 of them. There are now 50 of them because they've lost seven. So where a bumpy ride has begun to turn into chaos means that they are beginning to show that they are unfit. Now, just because an individual falls below the standards doesn't mean there aren't people within the party who might be able to take over and to govern Kent as we would expect it to be governed. So it's a work in progress, but at the moment they're failing the test.
Is there anything else that you want to add?
Look, we want the government of Kent to succeed for Kent residents. If taxes can be cut, they should be. If services need to be invested in, they should be. What we can't have is an unprofessional tone and culture from the leader. We can't have residents not being listened to. We can't have party members assuming that they're going to vote for a particular policy just because the leader says so. So it's a very tricky situation, and we look to our Reform colleagues to choose a better leader.
Thanks, Richard. You can keep up to date with all the latest on this story by heading to the homepage of Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Elsewhere today, police are investigating reports of a teenager being sexually assaulted on Tunbridge Wells Common. The girl was apparently approached by a man who threatened her in Wooded Area while she was walking home on Saturday night. He's described as white in his mid-30s and was riding a bike at the time of the attack. A motorcyclist in his 40s has died after his bike hit a wall in Chatham. The orange Honda was travelling along Slade Road when it happened near the Ridgeway early yesterday morning. Police, paramedics and firefighters were called and the man was pronounced dead at the scene. An investigation into the collision is ongoing. Elsewhere, a man's died and another driver's been injured following a crash near Whitstable. Investigators say a car and van travelling in opposite directions collided on the Old Thanet Way in Chestfield on Thursday night. A man in his 50s who was driving a Skoda died at the scene. The van driver was taken to hospital. Now, people living on a new builder's estate Leighton Ebbs Fleet say they're considering moving because they're so unhappy with service fees. Property management company Firstport is in charge of maintaining the area around homes at Ebbs Fleet Cross. Included in the payment is cash for playground facilities. Louise Halliday and Tim Martin Harvey both live on the estate and have been speaking to reporter Ellie Hodgson.
Since they've taken over, the experience, in my view, has been shocking. They don't reply to anything. If you phone, they tell you that the person dealing with this area is on leave. Nobody ever gets back to you. We're all questioning what exactly we're paying for because I don't believe anybody's actually seen anybody on site. And one of the biggest things that I find a bit of a joke is the play area, which is solely a log. There's a sign up that says about maintaining it, and if anyone damages it, it is a log. We were promised an actual play area for the children. This is not somewhere the children can come and play. There's mushrooms, there's mould, and it literally is a log with some boulders. The grass, as you can see, is overgrown. It's not maintained. My experience is in a house, so I can't say for anyone who's living in a flat, but in my house, I've never seen anyone here. I've never seen any works done. As far as I'm aware, everybody on this development looks after it themselves. So everyone looks after the bits at the front of their property. And there isn't much in the way of communal that we would have someone here to do. So I guess what it comes down to is, what are we paying for? And trying to get answers out of them is infuriating. Trying to log a complaint, they just do not respond. And I guess we're all just sick of it. I just want to know what I'm paying each month.
Can you give me a sense of how much you're paying for this log yearly?
So the total expenditure for the houses alone, because obviously they build their flats differently, the total estate value split between all of the houses is budgeted for this year at £52,866. The largest contributing factor for that being £17,000 for ground maintenance, which is kind of what we're... That's the majority of what we're arguing about, because there is... As you mentioned,
no grounds to maintain.
They're not managing this at all very often. You would have thought for 17 grand you'd have somebody on site 2 days a week for that value, it seems.
Yes.
They don't come regularly. I have seen people on site occasionally cutting the grass, but this particular plot of land they're not maintaining. This isn't play equipment, and everybody on the estate probably had somebody come and jet wash themselves there outside of their house. I'm unsure what grounds are being maintained for 17,000. And even if it was this plot of land, it's not being maintained for £17,000 a year, let alone the rest of the estate.
A spokesperson for Firstport gave us this response.
Our priority is to ensure these spaces remain safe, well-maintained and enjoyable for all residents, while keeping costs affordable and transparent. The play area and surrounding fencing have been designed and implemented by the developer, and we maintain the area in line with our management agreement. This includes routine health and safety inspections, such as ROSPA, the Royal Society for the Prevention of Accidents, repairs and general upkeep to ensure it meets required standards. The management agent said a property manager routinely visits the development and will be on site next week. We welcome the opportunity to speak directly with residents, explain how costs are allocated, and answer any questions about the breakdown of charges.
Kent Online News.
A police officer has been taken to hospital following reports of an attack in Ramsgate. Patrols were responding to reports of a break-in on King Street in the early hours of yesterday. A man in his 30s has been arrested on suspicion of burglary and assaulting an emergency worker. A hearing's been told a motorcyclist from Sandwich died after crashing into the side of a car while overtaking vehicles on the wrong side of the road. Mark McGowan had been travelling to work when he lost control of his Yamaha on the A257 Roman Road near Shatterling in March. An inquest was told the 38-year-old had suffered multiple injuries. His wife described him as a devoted husband and proud dad of four. The MP for Canterbury has spoken in the Commons about the appointment of the first female Archbishop of Canterbury. Bishop Sarah Mullally has taken on the role following the departure of Justin Welby. Rosie Duffield asked Second Church Estates Commissioner Marsha D. Cordova if it can be used as a turning point for the church.
As my honourable friends will know, it's been a really difficult year for the church, in Canterbury Cathedral in particular, with the death of our beloved Dean Emeritus Robert Willis, the horrible circumstances surrounding the resignation of Archbishop Justin, and the current controversy about an art exhibition which seems to have offended the Vice President of America, among other people. Does she agree with me that the historic yes. choice of Bishop Sarah Mullally as the first ever woman appointed to the role could and should herald a new start for the Church and a righting of the historic wrongs that she speaks a lot about of child abuse?
Marsha Cordova.
Mr. Speaker, my honourable friend absolutely makes some very, very good points there. And I thank her for her words and good wishes. She is a true champion for women's rights, but also for women in leadership. And I also want to place on record my congratulations to Bishop Sarah on making history. She has spent over 35 years in the NHS, becoming the youngest ever Chief Nursing Officer for England. She was made a Dame Commander of the British Empire in 2005 for her contributions to nursing and midwifery. And I would also like to add, Mr. Speaker, that Bishop Sarah served her curacy at St. Saviour's Battersea Fields in my constituency.
Kent Online News.
There are growing concerns the water quality at three Kent beaches could be rated poor when fresh results are published next month. The Environment Agency has confirmed there's been a spike in bacteria levels in Dymchurch, St Mary's Bay and Littlestone. Testing results last month showed a worrying presence of human waste at all three sites along the Romney Marsh coastline. Bosses in Medway are considering a cap on the number of HMOs amid concerns about antisocial behaviour. Council could introduce new rules which would apply in specific wards, including Chatham Central and Brompton, Gillingham South and Luton. The proposals will be considered by Council's Cabinet this week. Plans to build one of the country's largest battery energy storage systems in Kent have been withdrawn. Clearstone Energy had proposed a 300 megawatt facility for farmland off Station Road in Southfleet. Bosses say they will resubmit their bid. Now, if you live in part of Sheppey, you're going to be asked what you think £20 million for the area should be spent on. A ward covering the village of Warden, East Church and Laysdown will be getting the cash in £2 million instalments over the next decade. It's been highlighted as one of the most deprived parts of the country and in need of investment. Kevin McKenna is the local MP.
It's a commitment to consistently fund over 10 years. So that in itself can be transformational, simply because you know the funding's there every year. Although if we need to, we can sort of move it around a little bit. If there's something that needs to be spent on that's quite big early on, we can see what we can do around that. It's for the east of Sheppey only. It has to show real improvements to the lives of people in the east of Sheppey. That doesn't mean some of the things that people may want to improve is transport, so because that's a root cause problem of a lot of the challenges in the east. So actually it may be that you wind up spending a bit outside of Sheppey to improve the transport in and out of the area. But it is for the east of the island. And the other big thing, apart from it being a solid commitment for 10 years, is that it's very much neighbourhood driven. So it's not driven by, you know, in the end, it's not Whitehall that's driving, or even Kent County Council, or even Swale Borough Council. It'll have a neighbourhood board with people from the area who everyone sort of funnels into to work out how you spend it. Now, I know talking to people already, everyone's really determined to make sure that we get more bang for our buck than even the 20 million. So people want to make sure that we can use this almost like as a catalyst and an amplifier for that money, see if we can get more investment into the area to support some of the really big things that people want to see happening.
I've been on the east end of the island this week, talking with residents and businesses, and they've shared with me some of their ideas. What ideas have you been hearing? I know you probably can't go into a huge amount of detail, but what sorts of things have been cropping up?
Oh, there's a massive range, but like I've put out an online survey so that I can gauge it. Because one of the things about this programme is the MP is heavily involved in it as well. So automatically I will be on the board. And partly my job as an MP is to try and bring people together. I mean, that's one of the things I can do, is link people in the island together and people off the island in. So the idea is, people are coming in through my online survey, community is the number one word. So there are actually several communities on the east of Ireland. It's East Church and Warden and Laysdown and Shellness, and you know, it's a set of different villages, and every one of them people is talking about community. So people want community link strengthened. They want the opportunities for the community to come together to be strengthened. And then, as I said, the other things that are really, really front and centre of what people are saying, transport. People want to be able to get in, out, and around the area more easily, so they can access work, public services, you know, other things that they need to access. Also health. People are talking a lot about the challenge around GP services and access to primary health care, and to some extent education as well. But I would say it's about community front and centre. It's about health. It's about transport, and it's about being able to access services. And it's also, I mean, Pride in Place is about helping people bring pride back to their where they live. You know, it's supposed to do what it says on the tin. So, but it's more than a coat of paint for, you know, or, you know, a few new shiny bollards and a, you know. And a bit extra coat of paint on the bandstand in Laysdown. It's got to be more than that because people do want it to be a real catalyst for change.
Julie Mason is the owner of House of Hair and Beauty at Bayview Homes and Garden Centre in Laysdown.
Something for the children and send children. Somewhere where parents and children can go and meet. They can have a drink together. Children can go and play with all different aspects of options, pool tables for the teenagers. Something for girls as well. I know that they all like to interact and play together. I mean, pool is great because they do mix and girls are better than boys, like those sort of things anyway. But something soft play wise where parents can get in and join them, have a chat. Something for them to do when the winter months are in, like now, the season's come to an end. And I've learnt being here that talking to a lot of the children, there's nothing for them to do. And parents are stuck. Because there's not a lot of transport where they can get out to places. It'd be handy to have like even minibuses where it could be like not so much a charity, but people could just donate and go on trips with their children and take them swimming or to the cinema and things like that. I just think it'd bring a lot of people together. I just think it'll be a lot. I think the children definitely need something down here, definitely. I've only been here 4 months and that's the main thing I think they need.
Kent Online News.
Plans have been put in to turn a property in Maidstone into a facility for children with special needs. A company called Tendernest Care say the semi-detached building on Glebe Lane could become accommodation for three youngsters. If approved, it would have three support staff and a manager living there on a shift rotation. Bosses at Bluewater have announced plans to close their Winter Garden Play Park this autumn for major refurbishment. It'll be redesigned to create a new, larger space with more than 30 features. It'll close at the start of next month and reopen in the spring. An award-winning Kent pub is going to feature in Channel 4's Four in a Bed. The reality show sees B&B owners open their doors to each other for scrutiny. This week, the Dog at Wingham near Canterbury will be one of the four businesses taking part. The first episode goes out at 5 p.m. today. And Kent's Balvinder Sopala survived another dance-off on Strictly. The EastEnders star from Gillingham finished mid-table after her paso doble on Movies Week. On last night's show, she beat former England rugby player Chris Robshaw, who's now been eliminated.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and the Gillingham players have been praised despite suffering a 1-0 defeat at Grimsby Town. The home side got their goal through a controversial penalty. While the Gills ended the game with nine men after Ramea Hutton and Johnny Williams were sent off, assistant boss Richard Dobson spoke to reporter Luke Cordell after the final whistle.
Yeah, and that's a knock-on effect when you have games like today. It doesn't just hurt you in this game, it hurts you in the following games as well. This is why we have a squad. This is why we need people ready. It's a shame because now we're talking about disruption to next week's team, and you know, we spoke about injuries the other day, disrupting team selection. Now we've got suspensions as well on top of it. So we have to come through these periods. We knew it was going to be a tough run, you know, with MK Dons, Cheltenham, obviously new manager. Then you go Grimsby away. Now we've got Salford are up there, top end of the league as well. So we knew this was going to be a tough run of games. We obviously didn't want it to become any tougher in the way that it did today, but we've got to take it on the chin. You know, I come away today bizarrely a little bit more encouraged about us and what we are and what we've become. I think if we continue to show the same qualities, and I spoke about belief earlier in the week, and we show a little bit more belief on the ball when we get the games that are 11v11, I think we're gonna become a very good side. So I'm pleased, really, really pleased with the boys, and you know, I think we've just got to celebrate their efforts today more than anything else.
You said you've looked at the penalty. Have you looked at Rem's red card? And there's a chance of appeal, that one, because it's a straight red.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen that one yet. Rem's obviously aggrieved. Some of the other boys were saying that they were in close proximity as well.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure why the referee's rushed to make the decision he's made there. But we can't do anything about that. As I said, we just got to swallow it and get on with it. And you know, the boys did that. They didn't let it affect them. They didn't go down and get their heads drop. They kept fighting all the way through, and just first class from them.
I know you're mild mannered on the bench, but even that was testing your patience. No, you've got a yellow card. Probably took one for the team there, did you, at the end? But
yeah, I said to the fourth official, I've given him the easiest time he could possibly have wished for, given the circumstances. And the referee came over and said that I was taking it for the rest of the bench. So I don't understand this, where when they've got someone like me, and I don't abuse fourth officials, I don't see the purpose behind it.
Yeah.
I focus purely on the team because they're the ones that need our energy and our effort. And for the fourth official then to pass it on to me, I said to him, I couldn't have given you an easier day given the circumstances today, and you've actually screwed me there.
Yeah.
It's got to live on their conscience. You know, he's got to go to bed tonight feeling that he made the right decision there and he's happy about that. And if he does, then, wow.
You must go home exhausted after today, because, I mean, you've been firefighting throughout the whole of the match. You set up all the plans and then, you know, 33 minutes in.
Yeah, it's not ideal, and your mind's racing, and, you know, how can you stem the tide and how can you give yourself a chance in the game? And I said to the boys, just get to 80 minutes at 1-0 and then we'll open up and we'll see if we can have a bit of a go. And they did that, and all of a sudden they found a little bit of extra energy. You know, 7 minutes on top of it as well. So we've played 3 minutes in the first half, 7 minutes is 100 minutes of football, and still to be running hard and making tackles and advancing up the pitch in the 95th minute. Just brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Gillingham are now fifth in League Two. Goalkeeper Glenn Morris also reacted to the defeat.
Obviously, there's a lot's gone on in the game, and you have to deal with certain situations, and you go down to 10 men at 0-0, and I just thought, you know, to a man, the boys worked, you know, so well and so hard, and we couldn't have put any more effort in, you know, to the game. And the game plan sort of worked, but obviously we had to change our game plan, but the game plan worked when we was down to 10 men, and, you know, to hang in there, and we knew we'd come up with something. But it was just, you know, it made it more difficult by going down to 9 men, and you sort of got to change your game plan again to just last in the game and not drift, you know, get beat 3-4-5. And you know, we really dug in well. And I think you can tell by the way we got applauded off, and the last 10 minutes they're hanging on for how well we've actually done. And, you know, we can be a little, you know, we feel, you know, really, you know, deflated, but we feel really proud of ourselves with the way, you know, we've worked.
That late free kick, if Robbie had put that header in, I mean, that would have sparked bims in the away end. But as you rightly say, I think nearly 500 applauded you all off. They really appreciated that hard graft, particularly in the second half and down to 9.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's all we can ask for. You know, like, if we play like that, you know, every week, which, you know, we have been, and we'll win more games than we lose, and we can't do anything about, you know, referee decisions or anything like that. All we can do is just control what we can control, and the boys did not crumble. You know, that's the thing. You can come and you can get, you know, you can get, you know, the fans on top of you. Okay, you let a goal in, you can go 2-3-4. Before you know it, you're out the game. And we wasn't. We was in the game. And, you know, we really gave ourselves a chance. It wasn't to be. But, you know, it's not always about this week. It's just about, you know, like, you know, the confidence of how we've dealt with that situation will stand us in good stead for times ahead.
To ice hockey, and it was a mixed weekend for Kent's Invicta Dynamos. They beat Cardiff Fire 3-0 in Gillingham on Saturday night, but lost 6-1 away at Chelmsford Chieftains yesterday evening. The Mows are currently sixth in the South Division 1 table. And England have made it through to the semi-finals of the Women's Cricket World Cup. They beat hosts India by 4 runs. Yesterday, Dover's Tammy Beaumont scored 22. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups, and exclusive stories. You can choose the subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.